Okay, today's daf is Yuma daf Pei Gimel. We left off on the top of daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Excuse me, two lines from the top of the page. So today we're going to start to discuss the halachos of a chola. If a person has to eat on Yom HaKippurim, continue discussing the halachos of a chola, who has the right to say that he needs to eat on Yom Kippur? What if there's an argument between the patient and the doctors? How many doctors? What if there's an argument between several doctors with each other? When do we feed the chola? When do we not feed the chola? So that's going to be the discussion before the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to deal with different situations of illness or potential pikuach nefesh situations and how to deal with those situations. And the Gemara right afterwards is going to explore and expound upon the concept of ma'achilin also akala kal tchila, that whenever you have to give somebody to eat, to eat on Yom Kippur, whenever we have to violate an Isser in order to save somebody's life. So when we give him food, we give him hakala kal tchila. We give him the lesser Isser first, and then if that doesn't work, we move on to the greater Isser. But if we have a choice to which to choose, we always choose the lesser Isser. The Gemara Namad Beis is going to discuss if you have the option of Tevel Drabanan versus being mafresh trumas and maestros on Shabbos, which is also in the Sidrabanan. What should you do? Should you feed the tavel midrabanan? Should you mafresh trumas and maestros on Shabbos? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the disease called bulmus and four different cures that we have for the disease. And at the end of the daf, we have a story or two of Tanayim who went to visit an inn with an innkeeper who had a bad name, and how the different Tanayim dealt with that innkeeper. So we are holding three lines from the top on daf Pei Gimel, two lines from the top, daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, second line, cholam achilin osal pipikin. So you can give a cholat to eat on Yom Kippur if you have experts that say that he needs to eat. Am Rabbiane, cholam omer tzaruch, v'rofa omer ein tzaruch, shaman l'chol. If the cholat says, I need to eat, and the doctor says, nah, he doesn't need to eat, he's okay. So we listen to the cholat. The cholat has the right to say that he needs to eat. The Rambam in Shvisa Sasar, Perak Beis Halach Ches, says that a cholish yesh bo sakana, that says that he wants to eat on Yom Kippur, even though the doctor says, ein tzaruch, he doesn't need to eat, we listen to the cholah. So the Brisk Rav is medayik, cholah sheyesh bo sakana, who says so. But we discussed yesterday, I think, that even if a person is not yet a cholah sheyesh bo sakana, but if he doesn't eat, he's going to become a cholah sheyesh bo sakana, he also is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. But the Brisk Rav is medayik, that this halacha, that we listen to the cholah over the doctor, is only if he's already muchzuk as a cholah sheyesh bo sakana. If he's not yet a cholah sheyesh bo sakana, but he says, I'm going to become a cholish yesh bo sakana if I don't eat, and the doctor says, no, you won't. You're fine, and you're not going to have a problem. You're not going to become a cholish yesh bo sakana if you don't eat. So then we would listen to the doctor. We would not listen to the cholah. That's the diuk of the Brisk Rav. So that's we won't apply Lev Yodea Maris Nafsho to such an extent that we assume a person knows his own body better. That's we would only apply that once he's already Bitaras Chola. Now in his Kuntras on Maseches Yuma, the Brisker Rav writes in the name of his father, in the name of Reb Chaim, very famous sheet of Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim used to say whenever there was a Cholash Yesh Basakana who had some sort of internal illness or something like that, Reb Chaim would always say to not feed him Pachos Mikashir, to give him a Shir Shalim, give him whatever he needs, give him a full meal. And he said that the reason is that a cholish yesh bo sakana on Yom HaKippurim is you do whatever you can to be mechazik his guf, you do whatever you can to make him feel better, because it's Yom HaKippurim is completely nidcha for the sake of a chola, and since a shir shalim is usually better for a chola than having tiny bits of food, so that's also part of pikuach nefesh because it's going to strengthen him more, and therefore it's docha Yom Kippur. How does Reb Chaim erase Si'if in Shulchan Aruch in Tafrei Shiv Ches? Si'if Beis Shulchan Aruch very clearly says, Ma'achilin also pachos mikashir, that you give a chola pachos mikashir if you can on Yom Kippur. He says, yeah, that's by a chola she'en bo sakana, where the doctor says, if you don't feed him, he will become a chola she'esh bo sakana. That's where you're ma'achil pachos mikashir, because the whole sakana is failure to eat is going to cause him to be brought to sakana. So since you can avoid the situation of sakana by giving pachos mikashir, you give pachos mikashir to avoid a situation of sakana. But once he's in the situation of sakana, well then it's hatur gamur. Then you give him a full shir as well. That's how they say. That's how that was Reb Chaim's minug. The famous line they used to say to Reb Chaim, "You're such a mekel on achilah and yom kippur." He says, "No, I'm a machmir in pikuach nefesh. I'm not a mekel in achilah Yom Kippur. It didn't come from a place of not taking Yom Kippur seriously enough. Reb Chaim took Yom Kippur plenty seriously. It came from a place of being machmir in pikuach nefesh. His raya is from a Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel says, after he goes to the din of what the shirim are for being chayiv in Yom Kippur, he writes, Lufichach mishu chola, afal pishen bo sakana gemura, im yeh cholosh harbe, roi lachilo lashkosa ma'at mikashir sha'amru. That if a person is a chola, even though he's not yet a cholosh yesh bo sakana, but he's very weak and he's heading down that road, so then you give him pachas mikashir. Why does Sefer HaChinuch say that? Just say, if you have a chol shish paskani, give him pachas mikshir. So the implication is that there's a chilik between the shir that you give b'sha sakana and a shir that you give shalom b'sha sakana, where it could lead down a road that it will lead to a chol shish paskana. So that's how, that was the famous shita of Reb Chaim. There's also an interesting discussion in the Stechemet. What if the chol says he needs to eat in order to feel better, but the doctor says, not just that he doesn't need to eat, the doctor says if you eat it will hurt you, it will exacerbate your illness, you're going to be worse off and it could be dangerous for you to eat. So do we even listen to the chola in that situation? Our gemara is easy because safik pikuach nefesh. So if you're going to be machmir and the safik, you're going to be mekel or whatever, you're going to want to save the life, so you're going to tell him to go ahead and eat. But what if it's a little more complicated? Whichever way you go, safik pikuach nefesh. Do we literally trust the chola more than we trust the doctor? Or it's just that we're choshesh for what the chola says? That's the suffix of the stechem. The Magen Avraham writes that if the chola says he needs to eat and the doctor says it's going to hurt him, we listen to the chola. But in Hilchas Shabbos, in Simen Shin Chav Ches, the Magen Avraham writes that when it comes to medications, if the chola says he decides to prescribe himself a medicine, I need that medication, and the doctor says, no, that medication is going to hurt you, so then we listen to the doctor, because we assume at least in the chola may know his own body better, but the doctor probably knows the pharmaceuticals a little bit better than the chola does. So therefore, we would trust the doctor in that case. That's the machzor shekels mechalik between achila, where we listen to the chola, versus a medication where we're going to listen to the doctor. That's why it's not considered to be a stira in the Magen Avraham. Okay, so if the chola says he needs to eat and the doctor says you don't need to eat, we listen to the chola. My time, leiv yodea maros nafsho. We assume that a person knows his own physical body. He knows what it's going to take to keep himself alive. So it's more pshita. Of course, you're going to listen to the chol. There's something pekuach nefesh. So mal detema rofe kim leitvei. I might have thought that the doctor knows better, that the chol doesn't know what he's talking about, and therefore we shouldn't listen to him at all. Kamashman therefore comes to tell me that you do have to trust the chol. Rofe amar tzarech v'chol amar einot tzarech shomen lerofe. If the doctor says the chol needs to eat, the chol says no, I don't need to eat, I'm fine, then we listen to the doctor. My time. I thought we know that the chola knows his own body better than anybody else. Why would we listen to the doctor? Tunvahu denakalei. Sometimes when people are ill, they're delirious. They're not able to make proper judgments. So it could be that, yeah, generally speaking, he knows his own body better, but he's not well, so he's not able to make a proper judgment, and that's why we're going to listen to the doctor. Tanan cholam achilin osal pibiki. And it's said in our Mishnah that we feed a chola based on what the experts tell us, based on the Bikin. Alpi Bikin in Alpi Atzma Lo. The implication is only if Bikin, only if there are experts, only if there are doctors that say he needs to eat. But he himself, we're not going to trust. That's the implication of the Mishnah against what we just said. We just said Lev Yodea Maros Nafsho. So answers the Gemara, Alpi Bikin in. And then not only that, asks the Gemara, Alpi Bikin in, Alpi Baki Echad Lo. Makes it sound like even one doctor is not enough, that you need a panel of experts to determine whether he's going to need to eat on Yom HaKippurim. When does the Mishnah say that you need a baki? That's if the chola says I don't need to eat. Then the only way we're going to feed him is if you have a doctor. So v'lisvalei al pi baki. But still, you should only need one doctor. Why do we need two doctors? Why does it say we need baki in? So it says the chola says I don't need to eat, and he finds a doctor who's willing to back him up. The doctor also says this chola does not need to eat. So then in that case, then you need two bikin to counter that. So machilin Well, that's obvious then, meaning if the case is that it's two against two, it's the chola and his doctor that backs him up versus two other doctors, so that's obviously a safek nefashos, it's two against two, so of course we're going to be machal the chola. Now the case is the chola has two doctors on his side to back him up that he does not need to eat, so the chola says they don't need to eat, and two other doctors will swear to it that he doesn't need to eat. So you have three people, three opinions that he doesn't need to eat, and two on the other side that he does need to eat. So that's the chiddush, that we listen to the two that he needs to eat over the three. Even though Rav Safra generally holds that when it comes to judgment calls, we go with the majority opinion, the idea of trei kamei as a din purely in Hilchos Eidos, that two people is the same as 100 people, that's a din in Hilchos Eidos. Over here it's not about Eidos, over here it's about a judgment, meaning it's not, they're not arguing about what happened, there's no machlokas in terms of an event that occurred, they're trying to make a judgment call on whether he needs to eat or not. And generally speaking, Rav Safra's din is that when it comes to judgment calls, you listen to the majority opinion. That's when it comes to judgment that relates to money. But over here it's a suffix nefashos, and therefore over here we have to listen to the minority opinion and feed the chola. What was the Lukimta we just said? That the Reisha was talking about a case where the Chola says, I don't need to eat. And that's why we need Bekiyin to feed him, because he says, I don't need to eat, and he has two doctors that also say he doesn't need to eat. So we're going to need two doctors on the other side that says he does need to eat. But then the Mishnah goes on, it says in the Seifa, and if there are no Bekiyin, then we feed him Alpiatzmo. The implication is that meaning, and he says that he needs to eat. If there are no bikin, machinos al piyatsma. Right, exactly. That makes it sound like the Reisha is talking about a case where he says he needs to eat, not a case where he says he doesn't need to eat. Meaning, it sounds like we're talking about the same case that we normally give him bikin, and if he doesn't have bikin, so then we just listen to him. But if, so it sounds like the case where we listen to the bikin is where he also says he needs to eat. So you have to add a little bit into the Mishnah of Achi Katani. This is how the Mishnah should read. When do we say that we listen to the Biki and we listen to the doctors to feed him? That's if the Chola says, I don't need to eat. But if he says that he does need to eat, and there are no doctors. There are no two doctors, there's only one. Da amar lo tzarich, who says that he doesn't need to eat? Machilinos al piatzmo. We feed him based on his own saying that he needs to eat. Marbaravashi gives a different approach. Marbaravashi says, if the chola says he needs to eat, it doesn't matter how many doctors say he doesn't. Meaning, the way we just read the Mishnah is that if the chola says he needs to eat and there are two doctors that says he doesn't, then he doesn't eat. It's only if the chola is going against one doctor that we listen to the chola. Marbaravashi says, no. Whenever the chola says, tzarechani, afilu ika meya da'amri lo tzarech. There could be 100 doctors saying that this man does not need to eat. There's absolutely nothing medical that will tell you that this man needs to eat. L'didei shaminan, we still listen to him. Shinama lev yodei amaras nafsho, because we assume that he knows better than others what his situation is. Tanan im ein shom bekiin machin lo sal piatzmo. So it says in the Mishnah, if there are no bekiin, then we listen to him. Time of the lack of bekiin, he could bekiin lo. But isn't this a kasha marbar avashi? Because the implication is that the only reason we listen to him is because there are no doctors. But if there were doctors, we're not going to listen to the patient. So says mar hachi kamer. No, what it means to say is as follows. Bamedvar mamurim damar lo tzarechani. Well, that's if he says I don't need. That's when we'll feed him only alpi the rofe. Aval amar tzarechani ein shom bekiin klal machilinos alpi atzmo. But if he says he needs to eat, then if there are no doctors at all, we feed him anyway. Shenamar lev yodei amaras nafsho, because we assume he knows better. Meaning it doesn't make a difference what doctors say if the guy says meaning ancient Mekin Klal over here doesn't mean that there are no doctors. It means by definition there are no doctors. Meaning we ignore whatever the doctors are going to say. Their bekias matters, it doesn't matter at all. So that's what ancient Mekin Klal means in that context. context. That's what he's assuming. Again, this is Mar Bar Avashi's opinion, that we're always going to listen to the Chola anyway. We're not going to listen to any of the doctors. Good. So that's the that's the issue of who we listen to when deciding whether the person should eat. Now, says the Mishnah, Misha Achsel Bulmus. If a person suffers from the disease called Bulmus, it causes his eyes to go dim. It comes about because of starvation. So someone has this bulmus. Not only do we feed him, we would even feed him non-kosher food until his eyes get better, and then you know he's on the mend, and then he's not going to need to eat anymore. Now the Behuda's Medayik from Lashon the Mishnah, Machilin Oso Afilu Dvarim Tumeim, the Madura Kamen Simon Lamed Vav, that we feed him Afil Dvarim Tumeim, meaning that it's a Dvar Pasha that you feed him Dvarim Tahorim, that Dvarim Tumeim is the Chiddush. He says, L'chora, Dvarim Tumeim should be better than Dvarim Tahorim over here. Why should Dvarim Tumeim be better than Dvarim Tahorim? He says, well, think about it, there is a rule, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Right, that once you already have one iser, so the second iser can't be chal. Something that's not kosher, if you want to feed him chazer, so the chazer was aser before Yom Kippur. So the iser achil Yom Kippur shouldn't be chal on the iser of chazer, so when he eats, all he's going to be violating is the iser of chazer, because the iser of Yom Kippur can't be chal. Whereas if you feed him kosher food, well, kosher food never had an iser before Yom Kippur. Comes Yom Kippur, now it's an iser kares, so it's much worse than eating chazer. So the chora says in the Yudah, what it should have said is that mechilin also afilu dvarim tahorim, that dvarim tameim is dvar pashan you could feed him. It's afilu dvarim tahorim because of the anus of chal iser factor. Very sharp kasha, but he points out that based on the rules of anus of chal iser, this would not fit into the rules that this is an iser kolal. And by Nisr Kolo, there is Isr Chal Al Isr, meaning the Isr of Yom Kippur is more inclusive than the Isr of Chazir. And whenever the second Isr is a more inclusive Isr, it includes more things in the Isr, so then the Isr will be Chal Al Isr. That's why it's a bigger Chiddush to feed him Dvarim Tumeim than it would be to feed him Dvarim Tahorim. So anyway, so we feed him whatever it needs, whatever he needs in order to overcome this illness. Misha Nashchal Kelev Shot, if someone was bit by a rabid dog, by a wild dog, Ein Machlin Also Mechatzer Kavet Shelo, we do not feed him from that dog's liver. Rab Masi Ben Cheresh Matim, Rab Masi Ben Cheresh allows it. So the issue is, Rashi points out, V'afal Pishanogin Arofim B'Refuah Zu, doctors tend to use this refuah, Ein Refuah Gemura Lahatilo Isr Behema Tamei Alkach. It's not considered a real, full-fledged, reliable refuah that we would be matir sabema. So this gets into the issue of refuah beduka, refuah bederech skula. So this was something that the doctors would do, but it doesn't seem that it was a refuah beduka. So this is the machlokas tanaim. Ramasi ben Cheresh says it is mutter in this case. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos explains that we're not going to violate an iser to use something that's not a real refuah, meaning it has to be something that works bederech hateva. Aye, what about Ramasi ben Cheresh? That's because he thought that this was a real refuah, but we don't paskin like him since it only works bidarach skula. As far as we could tell, that it only works bidarach skula, it doesn't work in natural ways. So the achronim just ask on the Rambam that it seems that he sells for himself that we're mistrapping gamber refuah shem bidarach skula like a kameya, that's not bidarach hateva, and that we do. So what's the difference? So the safer base Meshulam suggests, quoted here in the Birei Adaf, I'm not sure who the base Meshulam is, but the safer base Meshulam sounds like, I'm not sure. So he says that it's a kameya, like an amulet, is talui on a person's das, and there are some people that believe in it. So it's a placebo effect. So the fact that the person believes in it will have an effect on that refuah. So then you could do it. But to eat machol asuros, you need rofim bekiim, people who understand what it's really about, and not to be somech on skulos. But when you have something but you're allowed to use a placebo effect when you're dealing with something that's not a real refuah. Someone tainted when I gave that shiur about the people who eat those who eat the placenta, the women who give birth eat the placenta. That if there's no isur bedavar, then it at least has a placebo effect. So let them have it if they feel that it makes them better. Okay, so maybe it would be mutter based on the placebo effect. It still seems very, very odd. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah says further, Vodam Ramasi ben Cheresh, Hachoshish begrono, if someone has a throat ailment, matin lo sam b'toch piv b'shabbos, we put a medication in his mouth on Shabbos. M'nei shu suffik nefashos, v'kol suffik nefashos doch as a Shabbos. That's a suffik nefashos, and suffik nefashos doch as a Shabbos. Misha nafal of mapolas, if you have someone who seems to be trapped under a rubble of a building, suffik husham, suffik en husham, you're not sure if there's anybody there, suffik chai, suffik meis, even if there is somebody there, he may or may not be alive anymore, suffik kuti, suffik Yisrael, and even if there is somebody there and he's alive, he may not be Jewish, we still clear away all of the rubble. If you find him alive, then you keep on clearing more away. But if you uncover the body and you see that he's dead, you don't continue to uncover it. You'll finish up after Shabbos and then you'll bury the person. But if he's already dead, then you're not going to continue to uncover the pile. Says the Gemara, how would we know that he got to the point of hi'iru enav, that his eyes have become light again, that he's able to see enough to say that he's on the mend from this illness called bulmus? So mishayavchin ben tov l'ra, it's when he's able to tell the difference between good and bad. What does that mean, good and bad? Amar abayu b'taima, you give him a little honey and you say, does that taste sweet? And if he says it tastes sweet, so he has to know the difference. His taste buds have to come back, and that's a sign that his eyes have come back as well. I don't know if there's any medical, I don't know what the connection between the taste buds and the eyes. No, nothing. Okay. So Tanu Rabban, Misha Achsel Bulmus Machlin Osa Kalakal. If someone has bulmus, so you give him the lesser iser first. So what's an example of the lesser iser? Let's say your choices are tevel or nevela. Machlin Osa Nevela. If you could either give him tevel or nevela, we give him nevela. Nevela is not b'misa b'dei shemayim. Tevel is. Tevel or shvius. We have the option of giving him tevel or shmita, so we give him a shmita stuff. Tevel or truma, tanoihi. If it's an issue of whether we're going to give him tevel or truma, so then it's machlokas tanoim. D'tanya machlin also tevel, then machlin also truma. Ben tema omer truma v'lo tevel. So we say that we give him tevel and not truma, but Ben tema says that we give him truma and not the tevel. Now the Rush and the Ran, quote machlokas rishonim over here, by a cholish yeshbosakana on Shabbos that needs to eat meat, and we don't have any shechted meat. So what's better to do? If you have, he needs to eat meat, we don't have any basar shchuta. We do have nevela. We have plenty of nevela to feed him. So is it better to shecht an animal on Shabbos and give it to him, or is it better to just feed him the nevela? So some of the rishonim, the Ran quotes, I think, b'shem the Ravid, that you would think it's a no-brainer that of course you give him the nevela. Nevela is a lo sasei, and the shecht, and doing shechting an animal in Shabbos is nisr skila. So of course, violate the regular law rather than violate nisr skila. But the Ran quotes b'shem the Ravid. He says, well, wait a second. How much meat does he need to eat? If he only needs to eat one kazayis, then you're right. That's obviously what you do. What if he needs to eat several kazayisim of meat? What if he needs to eat 10 kazayisim? So if you give him nevela, he's going to be violating macholos asuros. He's going to be doing 10 isurim. Now, granted, it's pikuach nefesh, but he's going to be doing 10 isurim. Is that really more lenient than doing one maisa shchita? You do shchita once and then he's good, then all the meat is kosher, so you could eat all the kazesim he wants and he's not going to, so it's one big isur, but it may be the quantity of isurim outweighs the quality of isurim. So that's where Rav Yosef Engel has a whole essay on that topic, when we have quantity versus quality in mitzvos and isurim, what do we assume is more impactful, a greater quantity or a greater quality? Quotes the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, Hakolafi Rov HaMaaseh, where the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says if you have $100 to give to tzedakah, so better to give $1 100 times rather than to give $100 all at once. So he says maybe you see from there that quantity matters over quality, because certainly the quality of the act of giving $100 to tzedakah is more impactful than giving $1, but nevertheless the quantity of doing the mitzvah so many times maybe outweighs the quality in that case. That may not be the greatest raya, because over there it may be more about your own personal self-improvement, that there's a ben adam la'atzmo, it's the act of giving, becoming a giver, may outweigh the pure ben adam l'chavero, the quality of the ben adam l'chavero of giving a larger sum of money. But he has something like 15-16 rayas, if not more, about quantity and quality from throughout Shas, and it breaks down pretty much evenly. Half the times quality seems more impactful, half the time quantity seems more impactful, but it's a labedik piece. So that's the machlokas rishonim that we have over here in the Rosh and the Ran. Rav Shlomo Le'eger raises the question that how could the Tana hold that you machilin also tevel? By tevel there's an isur b'chol kazayis of kazayis, meaning according to that svara, so by tevel you violate the isur with each and every kazayis that the person eats, as opposed to if you're mafresh truma from that tevel, so you give him the chulin and the truma together, and you'll violate the isur of truma only in the truma part, not in the chulin part. So you'll violate less isurim. So isn't this a quantity versus quality issue? Says Rav Shlomo Le'eger, isn't that a kasha on the Ravid? So it's a strong kasha that he asks. The Prashas Rachim asks further. He says, what's the machlokes machilin also tevel truma? What's more chamer? Do something else. There's a simpler solution to save yourself from the Yisr Tevel and from the Yisr Truma. Be mafresh the Truma and then mix it all together. And be mevatel the Truma in the Chulin. And there's no Yisr Daraisa at all. Ain mevatel Nisr L'chachila? Yeah, but then that's only Nisr Drabanan. So ask the Prashas Drachim. That would be the best Eitza. You could do something that would violate only a Nisr Drabanan rather than violating a Nisr Daraisa. That's a good kasha. So the Aruch HaShulchan is Matari, it's that Alidea Frashas Truma, you're going to be Machil the Chola B'dvar Isser, and therefore it's better to be Machil Tevel the way it is rather than create an Isser. Meaning, if by being Mafresh the Truma, you're going to be creating an Isser, that may be worse than just giving Tevel, the Isser is there, and it's just the hand you've been dealt, and you're dealing with it by just giving it to the Chola. So maybe that's the Chilak, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan suggests. In Siman Shin Chav Ches in Archaim, Amar Rabba, Heicha de Efshar B'Chulin, the Kuli Amal Lo Palginan, the Misakninin Lei Misafinin Lei. If you can give the guy Chulin, then there's no machlokas. Certainly, give him Chulin. Don't give him Tevel. Don't give him Truma. Just give him Chulin. Meaning, if you can be Mafresh the Truma and just give him the Chulin part of it, great. Keep Pligi B'Dlo Efshar B'Chulin. The whole machlokas is if you can't give him Chulin, Mar Sover Tevel Chamur, Mar Sover Truma Chamura. So then you have the machlokas whether Tevel is more Chamur or whether Truma is considered to be more chamer. So that machlokas, whether tevel is more chamer, whether truma is more chamer, Rav Yosef Engel also in Asvanda Raisa in Simon Beis has he explains this machlokas based on machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. When we look at the Isser Tevel, why is Tevel Asr? Is Tevel Asr because it's Tevel, it's just its own shame Isser, or is Tevel Asr because of the Truma Hamu'urav Bo? Do we view Tevel as problematic because there's Truma inside that Tevel? Then that's what makes the Tevel problem. Meaning, is it an independent Isser from Truma, and it just changes entirely once you mafresh the Truma? Now the Tevel is gone, and it's a new Isser called Truma? Or is the entire Isser of Tevel an Isser that there's Truma in there, and you're not allowed to have Truma? Tanakama holds you machlin also Tevel, because he holds, like Rashi, that the Isser of Tevel is because of the Truma Hamu Revispo. So you're not going to say that the Isser of Tevel is more chomer than the Isser of Truma, because the whole Isser of Tevel is only because it's Tarovas Truma. And that's what the Gemara says, that the reason that Truma is Chamura is because Tevel is Efshal Skune. You could fix the Tevel, meaning that it's Nitan Lesakin Tevel, because the whole Isser is Machmas the Truma that's Muravbo. And therefore, by definition, the Isser is Kal from the Isser of Truma. And Bentema holds, like the Sheet of Tosos, that the Isser of Tevel is an Isser Bifnei Atzmo. And that Isser is an Isser Chamur from the Isser of Truma. It's more Chamur than the Isser of Truma, because Truma is Mutaris Bachil Kohanim, as opposed to Tevel, which is not mutar l'achila for anybody, not even for kohanim. So that's how Rav Yosef Engel understands the machlokas over here. That's the well known chakira that he has, whether tevel is only aser mishum iser truma or it's aser in its own right. If I'm not mistaken, that's his second chakira. His first chakira in the klal is maybe the exact opposite. He says, what's the geder of the iser of truma? Is the iser of truma that you had? He wanted to view it the opposite way first. That the default position is the Isser Tevel. Tevel comes first. When stuff grows from there, it's an Isser Tevel first. So he says Tevel is the real Isser. Maybe the Isser of Truma to a Zar is that it's Tevel that never became Mutter. That really Truma is just Tevel. Truma is Tevel that never became Mutter. Elamai, when you're Mafresh, it becomes Mutter to a Kohen. That's a Matir for Kohanim. But if you're never Matir for Kohanim, so then it remains Tevel for the Zar. That's the other Chakir, and no one ever says that one over. I don't know why. Okay, so the Gemara explains what they're arguing about. Mar savar tevel chamer aval truma chazi l'kohen. So one opinion is that tevel is more chamer because a kohen can have truma, and so you see that it's mutter for somebody. Umar savar truma chamura aval tevel afshur l'skunei. The other one says no, truma is more chamer because tevel can be fixed. Truma, there's nothing you could do about it to fix the truma. Efshar b'chulin pshita. So it says, wait a second, we had this line that if you can give the guy chulin, then you should do that. Of course you should do that. What's the chiddush? So l'tzricha b'shabbos. No, we're talking that it's Shabbos. So b'shabbos, meaning you should be mafresh trumas maestros on Shabbos in order to feed him chulin. B'shabbos nami pshita, tiltot rabbananhu. Well, that's obvious too. What's the whole isser? It's only an issue of muktza. It's only an issur drabanan. So it says, well, yeah, but we're talking about a case where even eating the tevel is only an issur drabanan. Hachamayaskinan ba'atzit sheino nakov drabanan. We're dealing with produce that grows in a flower pot that doesn't have any holes on the bottom, where the whole chiv of being mafresh shumas maestros is only drabanan. So you have the issur drabanan being mafresh shumas maestros versus the issur drabanan of the tevel, which one wins. So the chiddush is that better to violate the issur drabanan being mafresh shumas maestros. Marsover tevel. So we have it. So we said machlokas where the tevel is more chamur, truma is more chamur. So lema tanaihi says maybe this is machlokas tanaim. What we're going back on is what Rabbi just said, that when it's efshar b'chulin where you're dealing with an issur drabanan. So which issur drabanan is it better to violate, the issur drabanan of being mafresh on Shabbos or the issur drabanan of the tevel drabanan? That's machlokas tanaim. Where detanya we have a brisa mishanashchonacha shifu. Person was bitten by a snake, karen lo rofim makom lemakom, we call a doctor from somewhere else, makaren lo satanagoles, and we rip open a chicken, vegozin lo sakarishin, and we take, we cut off creation from a tree, from the ground, umachilin oso, and we feed him, vein sarach la'asir, divri rebbe, and we don't need to take any maestros, Rebbe says. Rebbe Shimon Omer, lo yochal atche asir. Now we're talking about leeks, these are green vegetables, they are not chayv in shumas maestros midaraisa. The whole chiv is only a chiv midrabanan. So Rebbe says ein tzarich laaser. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon says no, you got to take maestros first. So name Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon he v'lo Rebbe. So it seems like we're going like Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon and not Rebbe. When Rabba is going like Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon, because Rabba says we're mafresh the truma on Shabbos and rather than feeding him the tevel drabanan. Now over here also we have that same option. It's tevel drabanan because it's leeks, it's green vegetables. So you see that it's dafka going like Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon. So says Mar Nah afilu tema Rebbe. Rabba may even assume like Rebbe who says that you don't need to take maestros over here because over here it's even less severe. Meaning not every Isser Drabanan is exactly the same. There are some Isserim Drabanan that are more severe than others. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Hassam elin maestro yarek Drabanan al maestro dagan de tevel daraisahu afilu Rebbe moda di yisharis lebat sheinu nakuv asil mechel bat shuhu nakuv. When you're dealing with an Isser Drabanan of tevel of green vegetables, that's an Isser Drabanan that bears no resemblance to anything midaraisa. That's a low-level issur drabanan. When you're dealing with tevel of grain that happened to grow in an atzit sheino nakuv, it happened to grow in an area that's only going to be chayiv midrabanan, so that's a more severe isser midrabanan, and therefore in that case we would tell you to be mafrit shumas maestros on Shabbos in order to avoid that isser drabanan. Not every isser drabanan is the same. This is something Mariv Rabbi writes in all of his svarim in Eretz Hatzvi and Bikvei Hatzon and Ginas Egos. He has this nekud that keeps on coming up. He's mechalik a lot of times between malachas drabanan versus gzeros drabanan. Malachas drabanan are all the same. When something is a malacha, so it's going to be they're all the same level. But when we're talking about isurim drabanan, gzeros drabanan, so then they have different levels, and we would do machilin osa akala kal tchila even within gzeros drabanan if we are aware of which one is more chamer and which one is less chamer. It's a Rashi in Gittin about mekach memkar on Shabbos in order to be makna a woman her get. So everyone asks on Rashi, why would you do the mekach memkar, violate mekach memkar? So Rashi says, why don't you just give it? Why don't you just give the get? He says, nisa tiltul muktza. You can't give the get because tiltul muktza. So everyone asks on Rashi, yeah, but you're violating Nisim Drabanan anyway. So you see that Rashi is assuming that there's a hierarchy of Isurim Drabanan, that as long as you're not within the realm of Malachus Drabanan, you're dealing within Isurim Drabanan. Not every Isurim Drabanan is created the same. Tanu Rabanan, Mishachsu Bulmus. So what are the cures for Bulmus? The Gemara is going to have four suggestions. Sweet stuff, honey and sweet things make his eyesight get better. There's no raya, but we have a hint to it, an allusion to it in the pasuk. Pasuk says, "Ruuna ki oru enai ki ta'amti ma tvash hazeh." So you see that that oru enai because he tasted a little bit of honey. Umay af pishen raya ledavar tahasam lav bulmus achse. Why isn't that a good raya? You see clearly that tasting something sweet caused his eyesight to improve. Yeah, but he didn't have bulmus; it just caused his eyesight to improve. Am Rabbi lo shana la achar achila. This only works after a person has eaten. Now, called the achila migra gar. Before a person has eaten, having sweet stuff will just make him hungrier. When did we give him sweet stuff? Only after they fed him, because it only works after you feed him. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, a second suggestion for people who have bulmus. Mishach so bulmus machinu so alya bedvash. We give him a fatty tail with honey, so it's not just the honey, but a fatty piece of meat. Rav Huna bereid the Rav Yoshua. Amar a third suggestion. Afsolus nakiya bedvash. Fine flour mixed with honey. Rav Papa Amar, final suggestion. Afil kimchi desari bedivsha. Even barley flour in honey. Amar Rav Yochanan. Pam achas achsani bulmus. One time he says I was struck with bulmus. Verutzti lemizracha shaltein, and I quickly ran to the eastern side of a fig tree. Vikiyamti ba'atzmi, and I said about myself, Hachachma tichay ba'aleha, that wisdom will keep he who has the wisdom alive. That I was smart enough to know which side of the tree to go on, because that's the Tanya of Yosef. Verutzalitum tam teina yifna lemizracha. If you want to taste the sweetest figs, go to the eastern side of the tree. Shnevar megetvo shemesh, because that's where the sun shines in the first half of the day, so it has the greatest impact on that side of the tree. So the fact that he was clever enough to figure this out saved his own life. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi have a ka'azli borcha. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi once traveling. Achse bulmus Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was struck with bulmus. Kapche l'roa achle l'rifta. So he mugged the shepherd and he took his bread and he ate it because he needed it. Amalei Rabbi Yossi, kipachtas roa. Rabbi Yossi says, oh my God, you just mugged that shepherd. So kimata l'masa, they got to the town. Achse bulmus Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi got bulmus. Adru balgi vitzayi. The whole town came out with sweet stuff to feed to him. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, ni kipachtas roa, vati kipachtas yir kula. I mugged the shepherd, you mugged the entire city. Now, he didn't mug anybody. They brought it to him. But that's what the Binyan Tzion explains in the Tshuva. Binyan Tzion has several Tshuvas about Yaharik Val Yavar on non-big three, on non-Avodah Zarah Gilui Ra'ah Shvichas Damim. There's a Machlok Rashi tells him, Baba Kama Daf Samach, if a person is allowed to steal in order to save his own life. Rashi says no, that you're not allowed to steal. Tosfos says, yeah, as long as you plan on paying back, you're allowed to steal in order to save your own life. So they point out that that's what's going on over here, that he mugged the shepherd because he held that he's allowed to steal to save his own life. And the other Tana says, no, you're not allowed to steal to save your own life. You mug that shepherd. And then he comes to town, people are giving it to him. So people are giving it to him. That's not a problem. So he says, well, if I mug the shepherd, I mug the shepherd as much as you mug these people. It was pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to steal. That's they're arguing the same machlokes Rashi tells us. That's what Binyan Tzion suggests. Vesura mei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi havu ka'azli, and nafkamin, we always pass like Rabbi Yossi. So it would mean that it would be Yasser, right? It would turn out that it would be Yasser. So the Surah Meir Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi have a Kazi Borcha. Rameir and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were traveling once on the road. Rameir of a Daik Bishma. Rameir would tell things about people by their names. He would make judgments on people based on what their name was. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi love a Daik Bishma. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi weren't so into that. Kimatalahu Dukta Bo Ushpizos. They got to the town, they looked for a place to stay. Yahavaluhu, they found a place. Amrlo Mashimchos. They said to the innkeeper, what's your name? Amrlohu Kidar. My name is Kidar. Amr Shmamina Adam Rashu, who this guy must be a bad guy. Shenamar kidar tapuchosema, because kidar is the combination of the two words kidar. When in the pasuk kidar tapuchosema, really bad generation. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Ashlimu lekisayas. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi don't care about the name, so they let the guy hold on to their wallets over Shabbos. Rameir lo ashlim lekisay. Rameir was nervous about this guy, so he didn't give him his wallet. Azal also be kivrei davua. Rameir instead went to his father's. grave and put the wallet there. Ischazide Bechalme, the father came to the guy, to the innkeeper in a dream, Tashakul Kisa Demanach Aresha Du Gavra, do me a favor, get this wallet off my head. So Lamachar Amar Lahu, the innkeeper said, I had the strangest dream last night that the father told me to get the wallet off of his head. So Hachi Ischazide Bechalme, Amar Lahu, Chalmud Beshem Shilas Bumamasha. Ramesh says, ah, please, dreams, don't worry about dreams. Dreams on Friday nights, you know, you ate too much, your mind was wandering, you don't have to worry about it. So Rameir quickly ran to the cemetery and watched over his wallet the whole rest of the day. At the end of the day, he brought the wallet back. Rameir is the one that says in brachas, but I guess you know he knew that this guy had a suspicion over here. So amru havlan kisan. So the next day, he said the other fellow, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, asked him for their wallets back. The guy says, wallets? What wallets? Amru Rameir, am I lo the kisu bishmas? Rameir says, you have yourselves to blame. You know the guy's name was Kidar. So Amrulay, Amailo Amartalan Marth. So he said, we didn't think of it. Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you warn us? So Amrulahu, Emer Damri Anachashasha, Achzuke Miamri. I have to be Choshish, but I'm not going to be Machzikim as a Rasha, and therefore we go spread Lashon Hara about him. I think Chavetz Chaim quotes this Gemara in Sefer Chavetz Chaim about what the Gedarim of Lashon Hara are. I couldn't just stamp say Lashon Hara. I know nothing about the guy. Mashchu Vailu Lachanusa. So they brought him to a bar. Chazu Talvchi Asafme. And they saw that there were some lentils on his mustache, so they could tell what he had for lunch. So they went home and they told the guy's wife, oh, give us those wallets back. Your husband said you should give the wallets back, and the simon is that he had lentils for lunch. So they took their wallets and they went. The guy came home, saw the wallets were gone, and he killed his wife. This is what people say. Mayim Rishonim caused someone to eat Basar Chazer, because that was the story of a different innkeeper who anyone who didn't wash Netil Sidayim he would feed Basar Chazer to, and lack of failure to do Mayim Achronim, wash off his mustache, caused the person to die. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi started listening to people's names. So when they got to someone whose name was Bala, they wouldn't even stay at the person's place because of a pasuk that tells us that Bala is a bad name. Okay.